Good morning, my friends. This is Missionary James Robinette with Action International Ministries Uganda. It's my great joy once again to worship the Lord Jesus Christ with you this morning as we seek Him in His Word, the Holy Bible, and I delight to share with you in this time, my friends. It's really a joyful experience for me. I love the Lord. I love His Word. And it's my great privilege and blessing and real honor to be able to share the truth with you as we meet with God in His Word and as we give Him glory. We thank Him for this wonderful opportunity. This is a good day that He has given us. And we rejoice in the treasure that we will find today in the Word of God. We are in Ephesians chapter 1 this morning, and so if you have your Bible available, please turn to Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll soon read verses 15 through 21. I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Holy Bible, God's living Word. My friends, I'm a missionary with Action International Ministries Uganda, and my wife Kathy and I live in the Kampala area. We've been blessed to be a part of ABC Radio's ministry for many years now, and so we also serve the Lord in other ministries. You can learn more about that outreach at our website that's found at www.actionuganda.net. www.actionuganda.net. And our contact number is 0782-652-143. Please feel free to contact us as the Spirit of the Lord would lead you to do that. Yesterday I enjoyed speaking with someone who had listened to one of the sermons, and we talked, and I was able to share some counsel with him. And so we are open and available to talk with you as the Lord enables us to. Well, my friends, let's once again pray. Father, we thank you for the blessing that we will enjoy now as we hear your word and as we receive teaching and the preaching of your word. Lord, I thank you for my listeners today, for the many, many people who are listening, and that you have truth for them to bring to them today. Your very words, the words of Christ, the words of the living God. And so bless that word to us, Lord, and change us by it. Forgive our sin, and then, Lord, sanctify us more perfectly through the precious truth which will impact our hearts. Lord, we need a word from you, and our hearts are eager to hear of your glory and the glory of salvation. We give you praise and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, my friends, this is the Word of God as we find it in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Amen. May the Lord add His blessings to the word that we have just received. My friends, I've just read for you Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 21, and we find that that is one very long sentence in the scripture, in the text. And there is wonderful truth found in this verse. It's my hope that we will take smaller sections of the verse, make comment upon that, and then understand the heart of this section of scripture more fully. Paul, the writer of the letter to the Ephesians, has been laying out for us in chapter 1 the wonderful truth of God's sovereign grace, how it is that the Ephesians received the gospel through Paul's preaching and through the preaching of others, and how it is that God wonderfully worked in their hearts to bring them to a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul teaches wonderful things about God's plan for the Ephesians, for all true Christians, and how it is that God has worked powerfully to fulfill his plan in the lives of the Ephesians. My friends, we have great encouragement that God so wills to work in our lives in the very same way. We who are also the elect of God, those predestinated to adoption as sons through the Lord Jesus Christ, we who have been loved by God from eternity past, we who have been brought to faith in Christ through the powerful working of the Holy Spirit, we who have come to desire God now, we who have been sealed by the Holy Spirit, authenticated as true sons of God, we who await our final redemption, that is our glorification, and who are preserved in the marvelous grace of Christ, are truly the blessed of the earth. And so, having shared this glorious truth with the Ephesians and with us, we find a transition word there in verse 15, therefore. Paul, having commented in the previous chapter, all of the verses of the previous section, about the great work of God, now brings us to a wonderful conclusion regarding these many things. And he says, in light of the glorious things that I have told you, and because the things that I have taught you are true, therefore, Paul, their spiritual father, the Apostle Paul, prays for the Ephesians. That's really the thrust of this section. Paul, we find there in verse 15, had heard about their faith in the Lord Jesus and their love for all the saints. Because the Ephesians are the recipients of the grace of God, they are true Christians and their lives reflect a true, though not perfect, obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Their faith is the gift of God, and they have exercised saving faith, and they continue to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, it is believed, ministered to the Ephesians for about 2 years, possibly more than 2 years. He was with them for quite a long time. He came and preached the gospel to these people who had not yet heard the gospel, and God worked powerfully through his preaching and teaching ministry, and the Ephesian church was planted and it grew. And after this time with them in teaching about Christ and salvation, Paul departed from Ephesus, and others who were appointed by God in the use of their gifts taught the Ephesians and preached the glorious gospel. Those who were truly saved continued to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And others heard about Christ through their testimony, and these also came to a saving faith. So that Paul received reports later about how it is that those who first received his preaching had believed and continued to believe, and in this evidenced the great salvation of God. They were truly saved people, and that others, through their testimony, had truly come to salvation. This work of God's grace was a true work of grace. And I should mention this morning at this point that that is something that is quite rare, actually. We find throughout the New Testament, especially, many warnings about how there are many deceived people, many hypocrites, many false professors. That is, that many profess or say that they believe in Christ. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 7 that many will say to him in the last day that they did great things for his name's sake and that they truly knew him, but that he will say to this many, this large group of people, that he did not know them, that they must depart from his presence. We see in Paul's writings and in other New Testament authors' writings that it is something that is quite common, that there is much profession of faith, but rather a rarity of true saving faith. And so, because there was an evidence that people were truly saved, again reflected in their obedience to Christ, Paul heard about this glorious work of God. I think we can understand that. We can think of others that we know who have come to a true saving faith, and we have great pleasure in the very thoughts, the reality, the truth, that others have escaped the condemnation that they were under, that they are now saved people. They have come to love Christ. They are no longer bound for hell. They are now bound for glory with God. We take pleasure in that wonderful remembrance of the faith of our family members and of our friends, of our brothers and sisters in our local church, for instance. And so we hear about saving faith in others, and we give God glory for that. It is a good thing to hear of true faith. We are encouraged by the true faith in others. And so we see that Paul, the great apostle here, writes about hearing of this true faith that others, the Ephesians too, had exercised, and how it is that he surely must have rejoiced to hear of their saving faith. Many people in that entire area of southern Greece and Asia Minor heard the good news from the apostles' lips. Those in Corinth, those in Ephesus, those in Galatia, those in Philippi, for instance. And God worked powerfully through this living word, through the anointed apostle Paul, and God created faith in the hearts of many of those who heard the gospel. They came to faith. They believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. These spiritual children Paul later heard about, and we find in his letters that he had a deep concern for the welfare of those who were his true spiritual children and of those who professed to know Christ, some of which were not truly saved and fell away eventually. He has a deep concern that his labor is not in vain and that he has come and worked truly, preaching the gospel of Christ in the Spirit with a true motive for Christ's glory and for the welfare of the people. And he has a deep love for his spiritual children, for those who have heard the gospel from his utterances. And he knows them. He has become a part of them. Their lives have been joined to Paul because he is indeed their spiritual father. He has a rather good knowledge of many of them, we find in his letters in the New Testament. He asks about their welfare, for instance, and he makes comment about the welfare of those who have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, those who are with him when he writes to other churches. And so it is that Paul, who has great concern, rejoices in their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This hearty trust, this knowledge of God that they have acquired through the gospel, this truth that has changed them and brought them to Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is, my friends, that Paul also comments here about the love of the Ephesians. And we find that he makes mention often of the love of other Christians that he ministered to. This is a common observation, a common truth that he shares in his letters. He notices the true love that the saints of God have. Paul sees that the people in Ephesus have come to truly love God the Father. And they have truly come to love God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. They have truly come to love God, the Holy Spirit, present with them, who has indwelt them, and who has regenerated them, who has revealed Christ and has formed Christ in them. God, the Holy Spirit, who is constantly, always present with them. And so they have come to love God, and they have come to love each other in a special love. And they have come to love all other peoples, as God has given commandment that we are to love God and love our neighbor as ourselves. Paul sees this sincere love. It's not pretended. It's genuine. It is a love that God has given to the Ephesian saints. And we notice here in verse 15 that Paul comments upon two things that he sees clearly in the lives of the Ephesians: their faith and their love. And this brings to my mind that glorious truth in 1 Corinthians 13:13, that faith and love are two of the primary virtues, or if you will, characteristics of true Christians. That verse says, "And now abides faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love." Paul sees these great virtues, these great birthmarks of true Christian believers. He comments first about their faith. It is through faith that we come to love God. We trust God. We begin to see his goodness and his love. We begin to see the truth about him, and we see that God calls us, we hear the gospel call, that we are to trust him, no longer distrust him, but that we are to entrust ourselves to God. And so he speaks about this trust that the Ephesians have in the Lord Jesus Christ, and through Christ, their trust in the Father. Blessedly, they, like we who are true Christians, have entrusted their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. And through this trust, they have received the love of God that has made them to be true saints, holy, set apart people, filled with the love of God in reality. Their spirits now changed. They have become lovers of God, and they have been saved from the former state of their hearts in that they did not love God before. They did not know God before, but now they know him and they love God. And so therefore, they also love the saints. Praise God. These great virtues, these two, trust in God and love for God, which is reflected in their love for each other. Something that could be seen in their lives. They were kind to one another. They were not proud in their relating to each other. They were not envious of each other. They were not puffed up. They did not quarrel with each other. They forgave each other easily. They didn't hold a record of wrongs against each other. That's a definition of Christian love that we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, of course, they continued to sin. They were not perfect yet. They did sin and fail in these ways that I've just described, but their lives were truly changed. Their hearts were truly changed. They did truly love in this new saving way because they had come to the Lord Jesus Christ. So their love was not perfect, but it was true. It was genuine. Just as it is true for us today, too, that we don't love God or the saints with a special love or others perfectly, but we do indeed love in truth. Our love is real. Not yet perfect. It shall be, praise God. We long for that time. We look forward to it, to the praise of His glory, when we shall be perfect lovers of God, perfect lovers of the saints. And so this is a true love, and it is a noticeable love. It is an unmistakable love. Just as it is that the Ephesians' saving faith was unmistakable, it was quite noticeable, it was prominent, their love is also prominent in this kind of way. They had become a light on a hill that could not be hidden. They trusted in Christ. They were true lovers of God and the saints. That was very evident. The light shined forth from them. And so, my friends, this is a great statement of the nature of saving faith and the nature of true love that the saints have. It is unmistakable. It is clearly seen. This faith and this love marks or sets apart the true Christian from the unbelieving people who do not have faith like this and do not have love like this. And so we are greatly encouraged in the text this morning to freely and fully and ever more fully trust the Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father. Oh, my friends, let us trust Him more fully. Let us give ourselves in this faith that we enjoy more fully. Let us, my friends, more perfectly trust God and fellowship with God, trusting Him, knowing that God is good, that He is the holy, sinless, wonderful God, the loving, merciful, gracious, powerful God that He is, that He intends only good for us, that He loves us in such a way that He has saved us from our sins, given us eternal life. And because we love God and trust Him in this way, seeking to ever trust Him more fully, more perfectly, let us love Him more fully and more perfectly, and therefore love His dear, blood-bought people, true Christian believers, ever more perfectly and ever more fully. Let us seek God and find ways to express to God our love for Him in our service, in our worship. And then let us express our love to God in loving the saints of God. Let us find ways to show that love to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. That kind of life, that kind of faith, not perfect, but growing, that kind of faith that seeks to trust God more and receives truth from God in the Word and by the Spirit, which is preserved and which grows in the grace and knowledge of God, this, if you will, love that cannot be stopped, this limitless love of God that we have and that we learn more and more about and that captures us more so and more so and changes us so that we express more love to God more perfectly in the course of our sanctification. My friends, this type of faith and this type of love is something that will be clearly seen. And in this, God is glorified. And the saints of God are helped, and we witness to the reality of Christ, and we join in the testimony of God. In this way, we give testimony in our lives. And so it is that God has His glory, all to the praise of His glory. How wonderfully it is that Paul saw this great change of God and remarks with thankfulness that their faith and love is evident. And so, my friends, let us pray that God will work in our lives so that our true faith and our true love will be evident to all about us, to the saints especially who have discernment to recognize and understand true faith and true love, and then also to the unbelieving who may not understand us, but must see in us something very, very different. Many times, this type of faith and this type of love acts as a great magnet to draw others to Christ. And so, let us evidence in our lives the reality of Christ, the Lord Jesus, and the Father. Amen. Father, we thank You for this time You've given us today. It's been a good time in Your Word, and we are encouraged to trust You more perfectly and to love You more perfectly, and therefore evidence to all about us, as we love the saints especially, Your reality. Give us grace to do that. Bless my friends today by the precious truth that we have received, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and amen.